handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You are a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan, recording this on April 20th, in the year of our Lord 2020, 5:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, awaiting another Trump propaganda, ego-boosting, masturbatory rambling session. So I thought I'd get this in before I have to also record an episode of Making Podcasts Great Again tonight. So lots going on here. Big announcements, and I mean big, folks. Before I get into the slate of issues I want to talk about on what hopefully won't be a super long show. This week, in fact, tomorrow, it is supposed to happen, April 21st, when you wake up, or whenever you listen to this podcast this week, excuse me, my new album, Fireside Cramps, The Deuce, the Donald Trump album that I have done with producer You Lucky Dog Productions, the baby of friend and comedy producer Aaron Hodges, will be available for pre-order on iTunes. It'll be available everywhere May 1st. Not everywhere, but all the places we've approved. Google Play, Amazon, iTunes, and a few streaming services, but not Spotify because they pay horribly and this is a business now. Okay, I'm no longer the world's greatest pro bono suffering comedian. But this album is awesome. That's the only way to describe it. It is obviously the Trump content that people have been loving from me, but it is very slickly and humorously produced, like with background tracks and different. It's just, I can't even really describe, I could describe it in like 10 minutes, but you just have to go pre-order it this week. It would help immensely. If you're an old school fan, I understand if you have like Apple Music or whatever and you don't actually buy anything on Apple. I guess what I'd say is on May 1st, if you're feeling generous, please buy it on another platform that you don't have. If you're tight on money, which people may have, but you still have a streaming service, then obviously stream it. But if you have a few bucks to throw for all the free Trump content that's been taking the nation by storm over the last month, then please do so. But if you are an iTunes person, I beg you in a spirit of, I want to see how big this album can get. Okay, this is obviously for longtime listeners, this is bigger than just a simple moment for me. This is a chance to really accelerate my career to a level that it's never been at and maybe sustain it there and really become what I've been begging to be and what I've thought I've deserved to be for almost a decade. And that's a headlining comedian where people are coming out, buying the merch, booking me for stuff because I am now a draw. I'm not just a good guy nobody's heard of. I'm a good guy some people have heard of. But the start of this, the plan, and this was an album that was record. We started planning it in January. Aaron came over to my apartment, trying to ply me with fancy alcohol as a housewarming gift. But I knew what was up. I knew I was being courted. So we watched the Utah Jazz play the Toronto Raptors, which is his basketball team, and they proceeded to beat the Jazz by 40 points in what felt like the lowest point of the Jazz season, right up until Rudy Gobert, the center for the Utah Jazz, ended sports as we know it. But I felt like Aaron was probably hoping to do another project with me, and I thought about it because I didn't know if I was, you know, I had moved out to New Jersey, and it wasn't that I didn't want to do a project with Aaron. It was whether I wanted to even continue doing comedy. But the bug was still there, and I had some ideas, and we decided to do it. And then a few weeks later, or a month later, we sat down in his homemade studio, which is just awesome, in southern Jersey, and we banged out a six-hour session. I could barely speak when it was done, but when it was done, it was the raw materials were there. If you've been liking the YouTube videos, or if you've liked my impressions or comedy for a long time, the raw comedy was outstanding. And then Aaron went to work on it, and he started producing and putting tracks behind it, making it sound all nice and purdy. And then he sent me like five sample tracks a few weeks ago, and I was really laughing, like losing my shit laughing, because it was like he had taken what I already thought was funny, and because he just put these nice producer touches on it, I couldn't, I was dying. It got me so excited. And this was probably right around the time that I was starting to get a lot of heat from the Trump videos. So I was kind of working on a high, but this was like, there have been bigger, oh shit, that's so awesome. You know, when like celebrities or something are following me or retweeting my stuff, obviously very cool. But from a personal level, just on a pure content and oh my God, this could really be a huge thing. This out, like when I listened to what he had done with these tracks, just in terms of the quality of sound and the background sort of music choices for different tracks, I just said, oh my God, this is going to be something that people are going to put in for an hour. They can sit around with friends and listen to it. Hopefully if people like it, you know, the way to, you know, everybody's always, people have been asking me, can I donate to you? Can I do like, can I give to a PayPal? Can I give to this or that? And I go, buy my content. Like, here's the thing. You buy my album, you've already given me a little bit of money. If you like the album, then it's not even like a donation or a tip. It's like you just bought a product that you really like. And I think with the heat that the Trump impression is getting, this is it. This is like, I don't know what's going to happen for me the rest of the year, but I have to imagine this is going to be the first. This is the first shot I have at something to make a real mark. So I know my listening base is loyal and small for this particular podcast, but you guys, most of you, are the originals. So this, you must go and hopefully you pre-order it. If you're an iTunes person, or if you have the option to be an iTunes purchaser this week, go pre-order it. Fireside Craps 2. I will alert on social media the minute it is actually open. I'll probably announce it with a Trump video because those things get tens of thousands of hits. So, you know, I'm hopeful that I can sell a shit ton. Like, I think I might be able to sell more albums on this album than I have in the previous seven albums I've put together. And I don't say that to shit on myself, although it is a little bit of shitting on myself. I say that because I think this album, between the heat I've got, the content of the album, which is like souped up, highly produced Trump content, which people have been devouring from me, this has to be, I mean, it has to be a big seller. And you guys are the first, you know, the first line of defense. You're my generals, I guess, using an inappropriate army military analogy. So I hope you will pre-order it, because it'd be great to just debut on May 1st at number one. And then it's a question of, do we get days out of this? Is it going to be like a debut at one and I'm out of there in 7 hours? Or is it going to be, oh shit, he sold hundreds, if not a thousand or thousands of copies. This thing's going to sit on top of the charts for several days, if not a week or so. That's the goal. The money is nice, but right now I'm making a decent amount of money from different streams. But this is about the marketing message. And I know this sounds cynical, but this isn't just about getting an iTunes number one. The first Fireside Craps was my only album to make it onto the Billboard charts of comedy. It debuted at number 13 on the Billboard charts, so that was a big deal. I am legitimately gunning for a top three Billboard spot. So that means between now and May 3rd, let's just say May 1st, the day it comes out, between now and May 3rd. So May 1st. So if you're somebody who buys on another platform, May 1st is your Trump album D-Day. But before then, if you can use iTunes, if you have that option, or if you are an iTunes person, please purchase it on iTunes. And then on May 1st is going to be the day for everybody who forgot to do that, or everybody who uses an Amazon, a Google Play, or a streaming service, to go listen to it immediately, purchase it immediately. Because this is mostly about, I'm really proud of the album, but also, you know, for $9.99, you can help me make a huge sort of PR move. I don't have an agent. I don't have a manager. I don't have a PR firm, or I don't have a team. I have me and my dog and my girlfriend and Aaron, you know, a guy trying to bust his ass to become a bigger deal in the comedy business. And as I've said, and I'll say it again, he's somebody who gives better terms than any other album label. And he's somebody who I met while at Sirius, who helped promote my stuff just out of good comedy taste and good comedy. And I mean C-O-M-I-T-Y, not comedy. And now he's doing his own thing on the producing side. And he's doing it how I would deem the right way, the honest way. And that I want that to be supported too. I want to have a platform here where I can say, look at me, look at my comedy. I am the captain now. No, look at my career, look at my comedy, take note of this, look at how well this album did. You didn't know me a month ago and now you do know me. But it's also, Aaron's pretty pumped and believes that this will be his bestseller of his producing career so far. So you'll be helping two sides of the production side, two sides of the production process by pre-ordering the album on iTunes or getting it that first day on another platform. And you know, this is the time I'm going to say, get it for yourself. If you're feeling like you want to donate, quote unquote, to the cause or support what I've been doing or help this move along, get it for yourself, gift it to somebody else. And that's it. That's the big announcement. Okay. So thank you for bearing with that. But as you can imagine, this is not just another one of JL's well-meaning albums that maybe it'll do okay and some people will be happy and laugh and tell other people to listen and they won't. I'm hoping this is as close as I can get to maybe having a little bit of an event so far in my comedy career, other than obviously the videos that went viral. So that's the big news, guys. Obviously, for free content, you can still listen to Making Podcasts Great Again. And feel free to stream all my other albums. I'd love it if you would buy them, but feel free to stream all of them. But Fireside Craps, The Deuce, is the big behemoth over the next, as you listen to this, over the next 10 and a half days. That, get it for yourself on May 1st. Gift it to someone else. Buy it on another platform if you're not on iTunes. Stream it on May 1st to get it. Just all the juice it can possibly get, because I've had no moments like this in my comedy career. It'll be 17 years since I picked up a microphone in Washington, D.C. In June. So it's been a long journey, and I did not see this renaissance, if you will, or whatever, coming about. I was putting out this album and thought, hey, you know, my fans, my small group of fans will enjoy this and that'll be nice. And it wasn't too expensive to produce, so maybe we'll see a little bit of money, you know, maybe I'll get a check at the end of the year that'll pay a month's rent and that'll be nice. But this isn't about the money. I mean, if the album were selling for 10 cents, I would be telling everybody to buy it in the same amount. I'm hoping that it can really have a moment and I can use that as sort of organic PR. Like where I don't have a PR person, I don't have a team or management or anything. It's still me on my own. Hopefully not forever. Hopefully some of this is gaining traction and getting me noticed. But right now it's still, for all that I've gotten in the last month, it's still me. It's still me and me doing my thing. So as OG fans and as listeners of my regular voice and not my Trump voice, you guys are most appreciated, and also with that appreciation comes a responsibility. You've got to be the first ones buying this goddamn album. Okay, so that was a really long promo, but I'm sorry, that's what had to be done. I'm getting some funny things. I've been having my, I've been feeling very fearful of my comedy career because I have this, I'm sleeping a little better. I'm not getting headaches, but I'm a little stressed still. Because now I have this feeling where I'm like, oh God, please don't make me a gimmick. And I know the gimmick is what's going to get me in the door and get me noticed. And I know that the comedy content of the impression is what's really drawing people. They're seeing it's not just a guy who can do voice mimicry, but there's obviously a very intense, thoughtful comedic process to create the content that I'm creating. But I don't want to just be the Trump thing. And that's what I've been getting into arguments online with as I've posted a few political things where people are going, you should stay neutral. And then, like, I posted some a couple things recently that were very not neutral. And, you know, the self-centered victimization personality of Trump fans is hilarious. It's very, they get it from Dear Leader, Donald Trump, where it's like, I am both a victim here and I am all powerful. So they'll say, congratulations, buddy. Thought you were funny, but you just lost half your fan base. My my Twitter count has not stopped going up for like 26 straight days. It just keeps going up. So like four dudes, and they don't unfollow me because like Trump, he really, what I've realized is Trump, what he speaks to in this country, and it's very bizarre and pathetic and funny at the same time, but also dangerous. Trump is just like his followers. He doesn't care if you like him or hate. I mean, he wants you to say nice things, but what he wants to be is talked about. He wants to be focused. And I see these lonely dudes who keep coming up in my mentions going like, you fucking weak joke, bro. I guess you're not that good. Nobody's talking about anything else but your comedy. I mean, but your Trump impression. So you're obviously not a good comedian. I'm like, dude, you followed me. You thought that my Trump impersonation, which is dedicated to destroying that dude and making him seem like the racist, stupid, sexist buffoon that he is. You felt you joined in and were like, well, I got to admit, that's good. And I'm a Trump fan. And it's like, you're a fucking idiot, dude. And it's like, I'm not bringing politics into this. You are. You like the impression. You like the impression. My Twitter account is not there solely for your enjoyment. It's there. Sometimes I post ideas. Sometimes I post thoughts. Sometimes I post serious things. And of course, I post comedy content. And the funny thing is that like there's this myopic ownership that these people, especially those on the right, who are now upset that I'm like, wait a second, he's not neutral. He hates Trump. And I'm like, yes, I hate Trump. You don't? And that's what I don't find, because it's like they say, oh, you're half your fan base is going to leave. I'm like, what, the 250 of you who didn't get the fucking joke? Most people seem to be enjoying both the comedy content and the serious commentary that I'm putting out. So please go. And I've rejected, I don't know if I said this on this show, but I've rejected numerous talk radio shows and TV appearances on conservative media because I don't want to intentionally cultivate that fan base. If you like my comedy, great. 95% of my stand-up is not political, but you just happen to discover me with this. It would be like watching a Steven Spielberg, like if the first Steven Spielberg movie you saw was War Horse, and then you'd go, I mean, he's a good filmmaker, but what's with all the horse movies? It's like, well, you should definitely check out some of his other content because you'd see he's a little bit more varied than horse movie, guy who only saw one Spielberg movie. But it's like this self-centered, like, you obviously aren't good. It's like, you discovered me a week ago. Who are you? How are you the authority on me? You're not. And then it's like this idea of, why can't you be neutral? And it's like you have to coddle the feelings of Trump supporters now. Like, I've said it and I'll say it again. Trump gets talked about like he's a god by his supporters and then coddled like he's a special needs child by those same people. So like you can't insult him because he's very precious, but also he's the greatest thing that's ever been. MAGA. And it's unreal. And I'm saying, if you are a Trump fan, I am not telling you not to listen to my comedy. You might still like my stand-up because a lot of the time I find my stand-up is kind of a little more abrasive and non-PC in parts that can turn off more progressive liberal people who I wouldn't consider true hardcore stand-up fans. But at the same time, I'm a fucking man whose father was Haitian, who's a decent human being, who tries for all his jokes and whatnot, tries to treat people decently. And Trump is the word anathema to all that. He is the opposite of that. And to me, the neutral position is, oh, we can disagree on whether low taxes are good or bad, although the data seems to point that like we should tax the wealthy more. We can disagree on regulations on businesses. We can disagree on the role of faith in public life. We can agree and disagree on different things of all stripes. The value of the Second Amendment. Should everybody have a gun? Maybe, maybe not. Should there be restrictions on types of guns? Maybe, maybe not. I have my opinions. You can have your opinions. And those can be grounded in culture and fact and feeling and all that. And we can agree to disagree. But when you stand there and tell me that Donald Trump isn't racist, when you tweet at me that I'm a snowflake, and I loved, I was called like a cuck and a soy boy, and I'm like, oh my God, you guys are like, you're like caricatures of Trump bros. But when you tell me that Trump is a man of faith, when you tell me that he is not racist because he has Ben Carson working for him, when you tell me that he's not sexist, when you tell me that he's a strong leader and a smart man and work, I've had many people tell me Trump is working his ass off. We can't agree on that. The neutral position is, what do your ears and eyes tell you, not what your fucking warped, dumb brain tells you. I'm sorry. There are facts. There is objective truth sometimes. And Trump is as objectively a piece of shit and incompetent as one can be in a range that technically has some subjectivity. Like to me, Stephen Colbert used to always ask this funny joke about George Bush sarcastically when he was doing the conservative pundit, and he goes, George, let me ask you a question. George Bush, great president or greatest president? And I would say with Trump, I'd say piece of shit or irredeemable piece of shit. That's the difference. Like, but this idea of like you're being, he is such a blankie. He's such a teddy bear. He's such a little comfort food to all these like sad, angry dudes, that it's so pathetic. And to me, neutral is he's a piece of shit. Like, I mean, if I said that AIDS, let's hear me out, is AIDS really that bad? Cancer, doesn't it have some positives? Child molestation, hear me out, aren't there some things about it that you could, no, you'd say no. Those are like, in a world of subjectivity and relativism, we can agree that certain things are. Now, I could say I disagree on whether the death penalty should be enacted. I don't. I'm 100% against the death penalty. But I'm not going to tell you that the guy who murdered and sexually abused little babies is actually not that bad a dude, and you're being a snowflake. Now, you're probably saying, if you're a Trump person, which you should have already stopped listening, because I don't want you as a fan. I'm sorry. If being a Trump fan gets in the way of you enjoying comedy, the problem is with you. And that's okay. You don't have to listen, but I don't need to placate you, certainly. I'm never going to do that. And if me having other opinions besides telling funny jokes on stage that aren't political, if you need me to also be somebody who thinks that, hey, we just disagree on Trump, then you can go. You can go, and that's okay. And I'm making that very clear on social media. Like, I'm not here to sell out. And this is a funny tangent. Multiple Trump impersonators. I had this one Trump impersonator try to contact me through a third person to see if I wanted to collaborate on something. And I was like, no, I'm good. You're not going to write. Like I'm not here to like lift up lesser impressions. And a lot of the Trump impersonators that I see out there, they are one trick ponies. And that's what I think eats at me, is like, I've been a killer stand up for the whole 16 years I've been doing it, but for about a decade, I've been a fucking hardcore killer stand up. I've written tons of sketches. I've done tons of impressions. I've written good, thoughtful blogs. I have created an entire kind of library of multimedia content showcasing my varied talents. So when these guys want to jump on with me because I'm hot for one of my things and like raise up their one thing, it ain't happening. But then another Trump impersonator, but I wasn't mad at the guy. I was just like, no, I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna do my own thing. But And to sound like a mob boss, you came at me respectfully, so we're okay. We're still okay. But then another guy blocked me on Twitter. Another Trump impersonator blocked me on Twitter because I think he was tired of being added by so many people. But that didn't. People can still at me in your mentions. I can't see what you're doing, because he's basically ripping off all my methods for his far inferior Trump product. But I did see that at one point, I guess before I was blocked, when I was added in something, he was tagging all his impressions with, not political, just fun. And I was like, man, now I don't respect you as a comedian. Forget impressions. Now I don't respect you as a comedian either, because you can do that. But like, I take great pride in the fact that I've never fucking sold out, and I'm not going to. First of all, it took a long way, but I've been validated. My comedy perspective, my comedy voice has been validated. It was a, you know, fourth quarter buzzer beater as far as I'm concerned, but it's still, I have stayed true to my voice. I have developed my comedy voice in what I think is funny and stating what I think and what I believe and how to express myself and trying to come up with my own voice. You know, and I've always said my three biggest influences are Greg Giraldo, Gary Gulman, and Patrice O'Neill. And I take pride in that. I think my comedy is kind of not a copy of any of those, but a real, there's influence of those three types. And I think those are three great comedians. So if you like that, you're going to like my stand-up, I think. And, but when somebody says like, hey, I'm not doing anything, like if you're trying to ease people into liking your stand-up with like promises of checking yourself or being like, hey, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to, then get like, then I can't respect that either. But it's when you're trying to do it to like throw shade at me or to like eat into my success, man, you can fuck all the way off. Cause you're just feeding all these cowards who want comedy to be safe. And they always hate it. You know, I am very broad with, I defend comedians of all stripes, even if I don't like their comedy. And I don't want to be one of those, I will die for your right to say it. No, I'm not that guy. But as far as comedy, I'll defend just about anything as being within the bounds of comedy. Not everything, but almost everything. As I've always said, the one thing I never defended was Kramer just screaming the N-word at two people because he was angry. I was like, it feels like he broke the wall and was just losing his shit. I don't think that makes him an irredeemable human being who can never be forgiven or move on. But I'm also not going to defend that as, hey, man, what goes on in a comedy club? So if somebody rapes a member of the audience on stage at a comedy club, can we call that comedy? Of course not. But I have very wide bounds. It doesn't have to be comedy I like. But if you are attempting jokes, being bad at comedy cannot be a crime in stand-up comedy. Taking risks cannot be a crime. But when you are like already checking yourself, I'm like, I have no respect for that. And I don't think I've ever done that. No, I'm not talking about a corporate gig where you're like, hey, you know, hey, you pay me money to do a corporate gig. You can set the terms. That's a job. That's not, you're being hired as like a contractor for them. You're not like writing your own album or doing your own thing, but I've done my own thing and I can take pride in that. Wherever the fuck I was going with that. But with the Trump people, I just think it's gotten so ridiculous. And I know people are like, but Jail, you're so intolerant of their views. I'm like, when a guy calls my father's home country a shithole, when he clearly has dropped the N-bomb, who are we kidding? Okay, like can we everybody who's ever worked with him claims he fucking throws around racial slurs. He's a bitch. He's a bitch. He's rude. He's incompetent. And once again, I said, if Trump was like a fucking just evil genius, just like ruthlessly efficient, I'd be like, well, you know what? He's fucking crushing it on the job. I don't like him. I don't think we should have a president like that. But I'm also not going to say like he's inefficient. Like if he's no, he's terrible at the job. He's a notoriously lazy person. He's a corrupt human being. He's a sexual assaulter. He's a sexist. He's a racist. He's disrespectful. He abuses the office of the presidency. He disgraces the office of the presidency. These are facts. He's a religious hypocrite. He uses religion as a political tool. He has no, this is not a man of faith. And all these things should be facts. These are facts. These aren't my opinions. It's like to say that, hey, that's just your opinion is to like deny the fact that we can all reason as human beings. Like, yes, under the technical definition, I guess these are opinions, but please, they're not fucking opinions. And it's like, I'm not talking about being a Republican or having conservative values. I'm talking about supporting him and what he represents and who he is as a person. He's a fucking disgrace. He's a disgusting, disgraceful piece of shit. Plain and simple. Like if I said the same thing about Jerry Sandusky, there'd be nobody, maybe a clergy member would be saying to me, hey, we must respect all life. We have to pray for his soul. We have to pray for his soul that he finds forgiveness, that he finds new life, that he begs forgiveness for the sins he's committed and the harm he's done, and that he finds peace. He works to find true peace. Because everybody always talks about confession, and I go to confession now and again. And people always talk about confession like, so let me get this straight. You can just say you're sorry. And so if Hitler had just confessed, according to you, he could go to heaven. And I'm like, it's not. To say that is to disrespect what it really means to confess. It doesn't mean to like recite, you know, the way Trump took the oath of office, to recite words over a Bible and not mean them. We're talking about a real depth of spiritual. If you're a believer, it's about a real spiritual change and a real depth of begging forgiveness and to really ask it. That's what it's about. Whether you believe or not, that's okay, but that's what it's about. It's not about, oh, you just say these words and you're okay. That's of course not what it's about. And I have found myself in church occasionally praying for Trump, very rarely, because I feel like it's what I should do. It feels like the true Catholic Christian sort of thing to do is, this is a flawed man. This is a man, this is not a good man who, but when I look at him, I think to myself, I can't judge. We're talking on a theological, spiritual level. I am not to judge. I cannot judge. But he also strikes me as somebody who is not seeking forgiveness. He's often said he's never asked for forgiveness, you know, like any good Christian would do, never ask for forgiveness. But it's hard for me to see that he's somebody who would ever want any real forgiveness or change of heart or to open his mind or to open his heart. Because there are times where I look at him and I actually, this will sound funny to people listening to this, for a guy who's gotten famous making fun of Trump and criticizing him. There are fleeting moments where I look at him and I go, I almost feel bad because I say this is a man out of his depth. And maybe there is something, maybe his father was hard on him. Maybe he's insecure about some things. But then his response to that is not to be contrite or to open his heart or to open his mind. It's to insult and shame and be crude. And like I said, that's why I can't judge. Like I'm talking, I can judge him as a human being and as a voter. But I can't judge him on any higher level than that. Maybe when he's called home, maybe there's things that have happened to him. But the fact is, if somebody can look at him and say, that's a good leader, that's a man of faith, that's a man I trust, that's a man who's doing a great job as president, then you're blind. Then you are blind and or deaf. And I don't have to placate that with some sort of false middle ground. I don't have to find a middle ground on racism. I don't have to find a middle ground on incompetence. I don't have to find a middle ground on sexual assault and incompetency. Like I don't, these are not middle ground. Like, why can't you stay neutral? To me, he is as bad as a fatal disease or a crime or cruelty to animals. Like there's no like, well, I see why you support him and I respect that. I don't respect support for him. Okay? That's it. And I find it funny when somebody wants me to. Do you think I'm going to fucking respect a dude who has no respect for me, for my mother, for my father, for people like that, who has no respect for that, for those types of people? I'm going to extend some additional respect to you for supporting that when he's been very blunt and clear about who he is? No, you like his shit, and I don't want you as a fan. And I'm not doing some sort of ultra hip liberal stand-up show. There's conservatives and Trump voters who would fucking dig my stand-up. That's the ironic part. I am a fucking, you know, I'm a Patrice O'Neill, former Adam Carolla multiple guest fan type comedian. Like I quote unquote go to places and I'm not afraid to like offend. I'm not a shock jock. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I go where the comedy and my sensibilities take me. So the funny thing is there'd be plenty of Trump fans who dig my shit as a stand-up comic, but I don't want to actively pursue those people as fans. The same way I wouldn't want to be fucking doing a corporate gig for like Hitler's Secret Service in 1940. Like, and I know, oh my God, you think Hitler's Trump? I think Trump is as Hitler-y as he can be within the confines of a 250-year-old democracy. That's what I think. I think he is as much a dictator and an abuser of power as he can be. If he were in a third world country, he'd be shooting journalists and probably have a fucking rape room for him, Don Jr., and Eric. I'm just kidding. He wouldn't let Don Jr. and Eric in the rape room. It would be exclusively Father Trump's room. But Yes, I think that's the character he exhibits. He will go as far as he is as corrupt and will go as far as is possible within whatever constraints surround him. So he could be an African warlord. He could be a Southeast Asian fucking dictator. He could be a South American strongman. But he's in America, so he's got to be restrained as much as the Republicans in the Senate will restrain him, which is barely. So with that said, hopefully you've tuned out if you're a hardcore Trump supporter. Good luck. Stay healthy. Stay safe out there. I am enjoying the fact that you have all these Republicans in Democratic states protesting their right to freedom. It's pathetic. And it's like when I look at that, I go, yeah, freedom just means we hate Democrats. Like freedom to a Republican at this point, like I'm sorry. Let me correct that. To a Trump-loving Republican, freedom means not what the Democrats say. That's what freedom is. And evangelical Christians, faith is now Old Testament vengeance plus no niggers unless they're being docile and helpful and respectful and white supremacy with calling ourselves Christians, even though we only like the Old Testament. We love the Old Testament, but we don't like the Jews. So we call ourselves Christians because we prefer that branding, but we actually like only the Old Testament part of the Bible. That's the Trump Christian base. Wholly divorced from actual Christianity and Jesus Christ. Once again, can't judge their souls, can just judge their conduct and their words, man to man, man to woman. So you go out there and you have your congregation, you go because it's not about the Catholic Church, not exactly a bastion of liberal sentiment. My church closed basically the same day my fucking law firm closed. In terms of remote, having to do everything remotely and live streaming mass. Catholic Church, okay? Not known as the most liberal organization, but they're saying, you know what? You can watch mass on TV. We're going to keep you healthy. It's that whole render under Caesar what is Caesar and render under God what is God's. The faith is not meant to be a suicide pact. What I find funny about this is when a radical Islamic terrorist traps on a bomb for their faith, they're villains and they're horrible, and I agree, that's an awful thing. But when a bunch of dudes to prove to Democrats that freedom and faith is what we need, you can just go get your community sick with a potentially fatal disease. That makes you, how are you better? Other than that, you're arrogant enough as Rod, great friend Rod. I almost wanted to say that like Trump, great friend Rod, good guy, my African American podcaster. No, as Rod on the Black Eye Tip said very recently, I can't remember if it was yesterday's show. Part of it is that it's not gutsy by these guys because they actually don't think they're going to get it. So it's not total guts, but they want to stick it to the Dems. So they're out there with their rifles and their flags and freedom. You know, it's pathetic and it's scary. And I am telling you right now, my prediction for 2020 is very simple. I think Joe Biden is going to smash Trump. And I know that sounds funny because Joe Biden's like not the greatest candidate, but people fucking hate Trump and he's disgusting. And you know, when you have Biden breaking records, turnout records, breaking Obama turnout records in Virginia and Michigan, it starts to make you think, well, maybe people are kind of fired up to get Trump out of there. And Biden is as palatable a Democrat as you can get for people who don't like Democrats. He's a genteel, experienced, old white guy who says nice things about Republicans sometimes. You're not going to get an easier get than that. Now, I know he might pick a black woman as his VP, and then it's all bets off because you know what they say. There are going to be radical Africans coming out of the woodworks to stuff ballot boxes or whatever nonsense conspiracy theory is going to come out of the Breitbart, OAN fucking machine. But it's watching these people, like, they don't care about getting other people sick. They're freedom. And it's like, it's so pathetic. And then today, Brian Kemp said he's going to open up. Like, him and DeSantis are like a fucking human centipede of for Donald Trump, just to prove how stupid and loyal they can be. They're like his pair of, like, evil Labradors, white Labradors, of course. Who are just like, we'll blame New York. Oh, yeah, you'll blame New York? Well, guess what? I'm opening beaches. You're opening beaches? Well, I'm going to fucking open massage parlors and nail salons, but say something stupid like, still practice social distancing. Like, what is he going to open up fucking, like, whorehouses and say, please socially distance while you do that, though? Freedom. It's pathetic. And the Trump Republican Party I don't care if your daddy likes them. I don't care if your mama or your aunt likes them. If they support this monstrosity that Trump has created, fuck them, to quote Robert De Niro. I mean it, fuck them. Because that's what they say to me. That's what they say to my father. That's what they say to my mother when they support a guy like that. Okay? Now, Trump isn't in your family, but he obviously, the personal nature with which people take criticism of Trump shows me that he is like a, he's like a faith leader to them. He's like deeper than just a president. He represents what they want the country to be. So they take it very personally, because if Trump's a racist rapist who doesn't know what he's doing and I love him, they're saying bad things about me. I'm like, if you said bad things about Bill Clinton or Obama, if they were true. Now, there's obviously really no dirt on Obama, but there's plenty of dirt on Clinton. I'm not going to go, how dare you call him out for doing it? I'll just go, yeah, man, like I was cool with his presidency, but like he did some bad, he appears to have done some bad things, and his character is certainly questionable. We can agree on that. I'm not going to go, oh, you fucking snowflake, you afraid of Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton's the fucking man, and you're a fucking piece of shit, and those are fake, that's fake news about Bill Clinton. That's fake fucking news. How dare you? How dare you? It'd be weird if I talked about the president like that, I feel like. Now, if you start calling Obama a Kenyan socialist Muslim and like start trafficking in like racist tropes, well, I'll take that personally on that level because it's kind of gross. But calling Trump a moral disaster and an incompetent moron fool racist, I'm just using his words and television appearances. I'm not, but the personal nature with which a lot of Trump people take that shows you that it's not about politics. It's not about policy. It's about him representing a way of life, a worldview that they want. And that is a worldview that is directly and offensively in opposition to like my existence, to my mother as a woman, to my father as a Haitian immigrant. So it's not the same. And like I said, I wouldn't be like defending my honor if you insult Bill Clinton, but it's like offensive on a, it feels like when, you know, it feels like, you know, the what these motherfuckers say when like, if you draw a picture of Muhammad, radical Islamic people will come get you. And that tells you that they're not as good as us. Well, when you insult Trump, these people get pretty upset too. And they want to march on Chipotle with rifles. So they don't seem, they seem a little bit better. Let's be honest. I'll give them that. They are Trump. The most volatile of Trump supporters are definitely a little better than Islamic terrorists. I will give them that. See, that's called that's called making a concession. See, I met in the middle on that. As Islamic terrorists. So I hope on that note that makes everybody feel good. I'm sorry. I didn't expect that to be such a huge rant, but it's been annoying me because this idea of being neutral, it's the whole ethos of Fox News. It's like, if you take the truth and then you make a lie that's 100 miles from the truth, you then pretend like the truth is actually at the 50-mile mark, whereas the truth is still at the 0-mile marker. But now you've convinced everybody that the truth has to be between your lie and the truth. So you've moved the truth halfway towards the lie, and you call that bipartisanship or centrism or whatever. And that's the great trick that Fox News has played on people. But hopefully you all just bought the, like if you're a Trump person, hopefully you bought the album first before getting that screed. But you can unsubscribe, you can stop following me and listening to my content. But a lot of these people won't stop unfollowing me because they want attention. They don't even care if we argue or if they dislike me. They want to stay in my feed for attention, which is the whole Trump philosophy of just please listen to me. Watch me, listen to me. I don't care if you hate me. As long as my numbers are up, as long as I'm getting tweets and mentions, it's the same thing as Trump. And I thought about this with how many Twitter followers I've gained. I'm now closing in on 80,000. Reminder, less than a month ago, I was at 4,200. And sometimes you feel like a power. I'm trying to keep my content good. You know, I'm trying to make good jokes or good posts and share like good content and not do like 40 posts a day. But you do feel some power when you like post something and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, in an hour that got 14,000 views. That's crazy. And I have to check myself and say, remember, you're just the same motherfucking comic. Just more people now have heard your shit. You're the same comic. And I know that sounds weird, but I feel like it's, you know, just to make sure I'm not out there starting to like bully people and pontificate any way that I wouldn't have done when I only had 4,200 followers. I don't want the new buzz and the new serotonin or whatever that comes from like, ooh, 1,700 likes on this. I don't want to like give into that. But there is no way that Trump has not been totally, wholly corrupted by that. Like when he posts a tweet and it gets 10,000 comments, 40,000 retweets, 120,000 likes, you're going to tell me that his personality, he's not out there going, oh, that feels good. He absolutely is, because he is one of the most egocentric instant gratification motherfuckers we have walking this earth. So you know that like Twitter only is enhancing. Like he's not, I wrote this in 2016, but I said, we didn't realize that Obama was not a good test case for social media, like the being the first president in the era of social media, because he's a very even-tempered guy, a thoughtful, deliberate guy. He's not going to give in to, I'm just going to tweet, and we're going to see what happens. Oh, Michelle, this one got 1 million retweets. Okay, that's a new record. So I think I'm going to keep tweeting because it feels good. He's a even-tempered guy, whereas Trump is going to see and go, oh, my God. Like it's like the people love me so much, and I love that feeling because I'm empty inside. So I'm going to keep doing it. We're going to keep tweeting. We're going to and look how the numbers go up if I tweet really angry stuff or really cruel stuff. I'm going to put a racial slur in this one. We'll see what happens. We are going to see what happens. And so we went from the best guy to be on Twitter as a president, Barack Obama, to the worst human being on earth to have getting gratification from social media. Oh, man. But I don't know, folks. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. But bad news, my Bon Jovi concert in July got canceled. So now it's starting to hit July. So the funny thing is I'm making more money than I've ever made because I'm still employed as a lawyer, but I'm also making a lot of comedy cash right now. And on top of that, now I'm going to just be getting credits to my Amex card like nobody's business because I dropped like $3,000 on play and concert tickets between January and February. And now I'm just going to get like $4,000 back. So it's like, I have nothing to do with all this money, but I guess it's nice to be storing up. So once again, look who's benefiting from the coronavirus. I am planning on doing a comedy special from my apartment. I'm working on it now. Because I've written some phenomenal material in the last 5 months. Obviously, though, about 85% of the material will be Corona, quarantine, my fame related. So, but it's killer stuff. It's like, it's weird because it feels like I did when I wrote Keep My Enemies Closer, which I would say is my best album, followed very, very closely by Thoughts and Prayers. Go buy them both, please, right after you buy Fireside Crepes, the deuce. But it was one of those things where I had done an album. It took me like 3.5 years to do Too Big to Fail, which came out in early 2012. And then like 14 months later, I had my best album ever, all written in that time. And I was having, you know, I had gotten out of a very meaningful relationship. And I think I was very depressed. I was eating a lot. I was drinking a lot. But I was also writing the best stuff maybe of my career at that point up until now. Now I'm not drinking. I'm eating sort of poorly because of the quarantine, but I think my mind has been shooting in so many different directions that the set that I've put out that I have kind of ready to workshop and to put on film or digital or whatever is really good. And it's a very unique experience because there's going to be a lot of comedians trying to find their angle on the coronavirus and the quarantine. As far as I know, I'm the only stand-up comic that has truly elevated from nobody into somebody through this. And that's its own surreal, funny experience. I mean, I literally have a 50-minute set ready to go that I've been writing and fine-tuning the performance, obviously. But I've been doing some live Zoom shows, which have been a nice source of cash, but also a way to workshop and see what regular folks think about my coronavirus and getting quasi-famous material. Works and it's working really, really well. So it's sort of a weirdly perfect storm, but I've never come up with like 50 minutes of killer material this fast. Like I said, about 35 to 38 minutes of it is brand new Corona quarantine time frame material. Whereas like there's about 15 minutes of stuff that I was working on since like November, like new stuff, not on any album that can really seamlessly fit in. So that may be something I try to shop to somebody, or it may just be something I put on YouTube, or if I'm feeling greedy, behind a paywall, but probably just YouTube if nobody is interested in developing it or you know, whatever. But that's something to look forward to also. So I'm trying to keep it going, keep the momentum going. You know, I want good comedy fans to like my comedy, and I don't care what their politics are. I mean, I do care, but I don't. I am not seeking the approval or the following of like a MAGA crowd, even though they would probably enjoy my stand-up immensely. I don't need them, I don't think. And like I said, I mean, that probably sounds too harsh in some respects, but at the same time, it's not the... How about this? You keep politics out of my life. You keep your politics out of my life because I'm the comedian. I'm the guy you're following. If you don't like it, or if what I say is too offensive to you, I think it's best for both of us that you go separately. You go another way. You find some other comedians or other people to follow. If my comedy does not interfere with your political beliefs, even if they are different from mine, then, you know, there's no reason for you to go. You know how I feel, but like, it doesn't mean I have people that I don't like personally who make me laugh. So I can separate that in some cases. In some cases I can't, and that's up to you, but I'm not seeking your support is the point. And I know that I think anybody who knows me, even if you disagree with me, anybody who's known me before March 2020, when I was a nobody for 16 and a half years, knows that this is consistent with what I think and feel. Like, this isn't me flexing because, hey, now I have a lot of progressives following me too, so I don't need the conservatives. And I'm not talking about conservatives. I'm talking about Trump fans. It's a whole different animal. And I'm sorry if you know, I always said, I'm not judging you if you voted for Trump in 2016. I know that's a big leap, and that doesn't seem like something I'd say, but I'm not judging you if you voted for him in 2016 now, if you've seen the light. But if you've watched this man, quote unquote, work and are either doubling down on support or are still cool with him, that is where I have a problem. I can't judge your experience or how you came to vote for Trump in 2016. That's, you know, everybody's life experience is different. You lose a job, you're stressed out, you're nervous, you're anxious, something happened, like something real happened to you, and he seemed like a bully who might get things done for you. That's not that you need my forgiveness, but I'm just talking in my own personal opinion. That's forgivable. Standing by this man in 2020 to me is not forgivable. You're enabling the worst that America's ever produced, plain and simple. And I don't need you as a fan. I need good comedy fans, and I hope there's enough out there that agree with me, disagree with me, can look past disagreements and enjoy the comedy. But it's just, you know, if I'm turning down medium profile gigs, then you know I'm fucking real about this. Like, I'm not trying to cultivate or make it okay. The way Chappelle quit Chappelle Show when he felt like too many white people, not all white people, of course, but too many were like laughing at black people and sort of not in a communal spirit, and he quit the show. That's how I feel about it. I'm not going on conservative radio and conservative television to like give you a pass to make it like, hey, right or left, we're all in this. Yeah, right or left, we're all in this. Trump can stay the fuck out because I don't consider him either of those things. That's my point. Okay, so this isn't saying if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican. No, we can be within the bounds of respectful disagreement. But if you support Trump, we cannot, because the man makes this country more fractured and more stupid every fucking day. And that's not okay. And I have personal reasons for that. I have historical reasons. I have somewhat scholarly reasons to dislike what he does, all of the above. So, damn it, I failed to make this one a funny one. Although maybe you laughed at my redneck voice, faith, freedom, family. If that's in your Twitter bio, please don't follow me. If your Twitter bio is like a picture of an eagle with a flag behind it and you're like, faith, freedom, Second Amendment, please don't follow me. We will not get along and you will not like my content and I will not like you. And once again, as I always say, disclaimer, I have no problem with faith, freedom, Second Amendment's another thing, or family. Faith, freedom, or family, all three good things, all three things that I cherish and enjoy. But if that's your entire Twitter bio, you're probably a piece of shit. So with that said, guys, get fired up for Fireside Craps too. I need you. I need the support. This can be a huge moment. As you can tell, I am not trying to change who I am. I am simply trying to finally break through and succeed when I have a moment being exactly who the fuck I am. So thank you for listening to this. Thank you for following. Please share this. Share the show with like-minded individuals or somebody who might find this interesting. Please give it 5 stars on iTunes. And that's it. Check out Making Podcasts Great Again, obviously. New episode on Wednesday. We have a Patreon for that. I'm on Cameo now. I'm a webcam slut. No, I'm on Cameo.com. It's Cameo.com/JLCAUVIN. I have some other very interesting things in the works, but the two biggies, a web series. There is a web series coming that will knock your fucking socks off. It's Trump themed, but it's going to be different than what I've been doing. I don't want to spoil it. I genuinely don't want to like share what it is until I put out the first episode, because it would be something that could... it could be stolen by a lesser Trump and then delivered in a haphazard, shitty way, and then I wouldn't be able to do it. So I don't want to tip what it is, but it will be beginning of May, new Trump web series, different from what you've been seeing. I'm trying to really get out, not be like a profiteer, but I'm trying to do everything I can to capitalize on this by, not by putting out shitty content, but by flexing and showing the range of quality content, so that that special is not going to be Trump-based. And I am, if I can pull this off technologically, I am so fired up about that, because I think it will go down instantly right up there with Keep My Enemies Closer and Thoughts and Prayers, like without question. And it'll be something that I wrote in the span of like 5 months and most of it in the span of 1 month. And I think that'll be another, you know, that'll be another thing to show people, oh shit, not only is he a great comedian, but he's a great comedian who produced this like unique perspective on the coronavirus. Anyway, the album, the web series, the podcasts, and the special. Four of those things are going to be free, most likely. So go buy the album, pre-order it on iTunes, get it on May 1st if you're not an iTunes person. Gift it to somebody if you're feeling like you want to contribute extra. Gift it to a bunch of people. I want it to blow the fuck up. I don't say this shit because I'm very cynical and bitter about this business, but I can recognize that this is a moment for me. So get it, share it, purchase it for friends. Let's make it a fucking number one hit, and maybe even like top three on the comedy Billboard chart. It'd be a beautiful thing. I'd appreciate it. That's it, guys. I gotta go to eat dinner. So enjoy this episode. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next Tuesday.